Hey, thanks for checking in with this episode of the Lake Effect Podcast. Today, I'm in Toledo, sitting here with Scott Carpenter, who works for Toledo Metro Parks. Scott, thanks for stopping in today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
What do you do?
I'm the director of public relations, so I do all the media relations and a great deal of writing, a wide variety of scripts to social media posts, anything people hate to write, so that's really my job security right there.
Aside from Lake Erie, which is the main water feature, I believe, in northwest Ohio, the Maumee River comes right through downtown Toledo. So what can you tell me, how important is the Maumee River to Toledo Metro Parks and the residents and visitors in Toledo?
Yeah, so the Maumee River is the largest river on the Great Lakes, and right downtown here where we're at, the river is really part of the lake. It rises and falls with Lake Erie, so when you're looking at the river, you are looking at a piece of Lake Erie. But the river is our roots. Where the walleye fishing takes place was the first metro park. That's where it all started. We now have 6 metro parks on the Maumee River, so our oldest and our newest parks are both on the river.
What does Metro Parks offer for people who want to camp, either tent camping or their RV sites, or what's going on with Metro Parks as far as camping? I mean, this is a major metropolitan area, which most people do not associate with camping.
Yeah,
at all.
We do. We have camping at multiple Metro Parks. The biggest park is Oak Openings, and we have 2 campgrounds there, 2 cabins that are available to rent. And something kind of unique, we have a treehouse village with 5 treehouses and 3 tent
Is that safe?
Platforms. They're very nice. They're very cushy. It's glamping at its finest. For
glamping,
sure.
What's that?
It is roughing it without roughing it too much. So these treehouses are heated and air conditioned. There's a bathroom nearby, and it's glamorous camping. Yeah, it's we try to make camping easy, accessible. Especially if you're just trying it for the first time, or you want to bring your kids to experience it.
You also have sites for people that just want to come in with a small tent.
Yeah, so most of our sites are primitive camping. We don't offer currently anyway RV camping, although there are plans to put a urban campground here, right here in the heart of downtown Toledo, basically.
Huh?
In this park.
Really? Like around here in this area?
Yeah, in the park where we're sitting right now. There's at the one end of the park is the National Museum of the Great Lakes,
right.
And just past that, between the museum and there's 2 bridges there, the Craig Bridge and the Skyway. Right beneath those bridges, basically, is where we're looking at putting an RV park.
So you're saying somebody could sit at the campsite and watch a drawbridge operate look at the skyline of a major Midwest city right across the river.
Yeah, and our understanding is there is a demand for just that sort of thing. If you're traveling cross country or something, or in your RV and want to put up somewhere for the night to go enjoy the city, the National Museum of the Great Lakes and the Riverwalk here are attractions in themselves. So it'll put them right there. Yeah.
That's the first I've heard of that. Can you tell me about Howard Marsh?
Howard Marsh is really one of the highlights of my career here. It's a property that had been farmed for 100 years. There'd been a lot of us with our eyes on that property, hoping it either stayed farming or could be turned back into marsh and not developed. It was like the last 1,000-acre piece of ground, I think, on Lake Erie that you could even do such a thing. So when we had the opportunity to acquire it, state and federal agencies were very quick to come in and help us. This was in 2018, and today it's a beautiful marsh, still growing in, so the trees aren't real tall yet, but already it's on the map with birders and part of the circuit, I call it. When I go out there, I have to hit Metzger Marsh, McGee Marsh, the Ottawa Wildlife Refuge, even the Maumee Bay State Park and Pearson Metro Park. So you've got this lineup of local, state, and federal properties that together create a great destination for birding, one of the best in the world.
A lot of visitors to all those parks?
A lot of visitors in the season, for sure.
Right. Um,
You know, Howard Marsh is, it's very well known to birders, maybe a best kept secret to others. It's a wonderful getaway. I often joke that we could sell tickets to the sunsets there. So it's a 1,000-acre wetland restoration at the crossroads of two international migratory flyways for birds.
So you say it's wetlands. Can you still walk it?
You can still walk it. We have boardwalk. There's a new area that just opened last fall, and the old area, new area, if we call them, have boardwalks that take you out into over the marsh, and there is over 6 miles of hiking trail on dike tops. It's also a popular spot for kayaking. There's, I think, about 6 miles of water trail through it as
really?
Well.
A unique feature that people talk about at Oak Openings that include small sand dunes, which most people did not know there was in Ohio and until a few years ago, I did not realize. What can you tell me about the sand dunes at Oak Openings?
Yeah, so Lake Erie, that was once the beach of a predecessor to Lake Erie, Lake Warren. There's still sand from the old beach there. It's a really unique area that I won't do justice to. It's globally rare. The Nature Conservancy once listed the Oak Openings region on a list of the 100 last great places on Earth, they call it. From on top of sand dune, you could throw a softball and land in a wetland.
That close.
So you'll find prickly pear cactus growing in the sand.
Wait.
Yeah, prickly
Back
pear
up.
Cactus. Cactus in Ohio.
Cactus in Ohio.
That? Yeah, also orchids, native orchids growing
really?
There. It's a botanist's dream and a birder's as well.
What about school programs? Are there any projects where school kids go to the parks from the Toledo area?
Yeah, quite a bit. And probably the best example is another little wetland area called Manhattan Marsh, which is right here in the city.
Never heard of it.
Manhattan Marsh is it was like move-in ready for a park. Neighbors had purchased the property around it to preserve it. It's this marsh in North Toledo. We put a trail around it, some boardwalks going out into it. But the coolest thing is that it's connected to a school, a STEM academy for younger children. They've already, even before we made it a metro park, they were already using some of that property like a land lab. So we cater to them quite a bit. These are our future naturalists. One of my future bosses is probably in fourth grade there now. They have the opportunity to go out and have a living laboratory right out their door. But we work with all the school districts around here. We do summer camps. We have a program, our membership program supports, called Connections Camp, to make sure that all kids have an opportunity to go to summer camp, no matter their family's financial situation. So yeah, getting kids outdoors, it makes lasting impressions, as I've seen, with my own kids.
There are some other waterways coming through the area, like Swan Creek. Does that come through any parks?
Yeah, so Swan Creek begins actually in Oak Openings Metro Park.
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah, travels through town and empties into the Maumee River, a stone's throw from where we're sitting, right in downtown Toledo. So it's our, I think, our third longest stream, second or third after the Maumee River. The other one is the Ottawa River, which starts out as 10 Mile Creek, turns into the Ottawa River and empties into the Maumee River as well. Yeah, over 30 years ago, I wrote a column for a weekly newspaper where I was editor, called Lake Erie Journal. That, migrated to different newspapers under different names, and I wrote about everything, camping, fishing, anything related to wetland restoration. And I kind of started with fishing and got drawn into more of the science of it and the importance of wetlands. I didn't know any of this when I started. That ended up turning into a book called Lake Erie Journal, which was a guide to the Lake Erie Circle Tour.
I read that book.
So you read that book. I wrote that book. And I drive around a few times. I drove all the way around the lake, which you can do in a day. I suggest you spend a week, but you can do it, it's 5 hours from end to end, so about 10 hours all the way around. And dragged my family along. We camped on islands and beaches. Had a memorable trip, like a buddy road trip with my cousin that I didn't get to see too often. So, and sold stories along the way. because you don't, a big secret, you don't really make a lot of money writing books.
Amen, brother.
You do it to do it, I think. So Lake Erie's just been something that's, you know, I'm so connected to it now. I can't extract myself. I was fortunate to, I lived in Oregon, Ohio, where Maumee Bay State Park is today. But the park wasn't there when I was growing up. So we lived on Lake Erie, and I couldn't get there, so I didn't really have any connection to the lake. I was a newspaper reporter when they were developing the park and wrote about it probably way too much because I was so excited about it. And now we've got this beautiful lodge and this park right on the bay of the Maumee Bay of Lake Erie. So, you know, it's been a great time to be alive, to see all the positive things that have happened. And the lake still has its problems, but it has more going for it than its reputation might indicate. So being here and being involved in my small way, in the communication end anyway, with preserving wetlands that benefit Lake Erie is kind of the culmination of the whole my whole career.
I believe you told me you just turned 60.
I turned 60 and you got some yesterday.
You got some new tattoos.
I did, yeah.
What can you tell me about your tattoos? Well, how did that come about?
Well, 8 years ago, a young woman came into our office and offered to do tattoos and raise money for Metro Parks. And so I made the comment, stupidly, I think, that I would probably do one of those tattoos.
Uh-huh.
Dave Zank, who's now our director, he wasn't then, challenged me to... that if we ever reached our goal of 13,000 acres, I would get a tattoo. At the time, I might add, I was assured that wasn't possible.
And that was 8 years ago, you said?
8 years ago.
Okay.
I don't know how many acres we had at the time. Probably we had hit 12. We had hit 12,000 acres. But there was really little hope of us ever getting to 13,000, at least in my time here. Well, I was wrong. We're at 13,212.4 as of today. So I always intended to follow through with the promise. And so, yeah.
What do you have there?
I have 6 marsh birds. Howard Marsh, like I said, was a career highlight. And I mentioned I have 6 grandchildren. So from a red-winged blackbird, an osprey, a Canada goose, pelican, trumpeter swan, and great blue heron.
Hey, thank you so much, Scott, for taking the time out today to talk to me about your journey with Lake Erie and Toledo Metro Parks. And hopefully one day I will see you around the lake.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining me today for this episode of the Lake Effect Podcast. I'm your host and producer, James Proffitt. Executive producer is Chris Pfeiffer. If you have questions or want to learn more about Lake Effect, visit wgte.org/lakeeffect. Until then, I'll see you somewhere around the lake.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.